In Puerto Rico, there's adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the U.S. Get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico and that remind you why you travel in the first place. Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you. No passports required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant. I'm a little under the weather, a little run down, but I feel better than I sound.
I am over the weather.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
It means you're in great spirits, good shape.
Sure.
You could put your hand through that wall next to you.
I probably could, actually, on certain days.
Yeah.
But not today.
That's good, Chuck. Yeah. You doing okay?
Yeah, great. Okay, glad you're feeling better, even though you sound crappy.
Man, I really do, don't I?
It's always reminiscent of the six-month period that you were sick early on.
So bad.
Yeah.
Now I'm healthy. I don't smoke. I exercise. I eat right. I juice all
the time. Isn't it remarkable how you don't get sick as often when you live right?
Yeah, when you treat your body correctly.
Exactly.
Well, Chuck, that's an excellent segue because, in my opinion, one of the best ways to treat your body is to stuff it full of really good pizza.
Yeah.
Have you had pizza before?
Yeah, dude, I love pizza. I don't eat that much of it.
Oh, really?
No, I mean, I don't know how much. I mean, we have stats on the average American and stuff.
May I spit one out?
Sure.
Every day, Americans eat about 100 acres of pizza.
I guess it would be Sicilian, because an acre is, it would be squared. Although it doesn't have to be square.
No.
You can have a round acre.
Yeah, I guess you could.
Just forget what I said.
I've never seen a round acre before.
I imagine an island, if it's round.
Oh, yeah.
Would be round acreage.
There's not really any real round islands. There's no such thing as a perfect circle in
nature. Sure. Gilligan's Island was so round.
No.
It was just a circle.
No.
Yeah, I love pizza. I don't know how much I eat of it, though, compared to most people. Like, I'd say we order a pizza, like, maybe once a month.
What?
We'll order a pizza.
That's the only pizza you have every month?
Yeah, we'll order a pizza delivery, and then probably we'll throw in one visit to Antico. Which,
a month? You got me beat there. I need to get out there more often.
Yeah, once every 6 weeks to 2 months for Antico.
Yeah, here in Atlanta, Chuck and I have a pizza place. I guess everybody in Atlanta has it, but we're very fortunate to have a place called Antico Pizza.
It's really good.
And now I understand the name after researching this article.
Yeah, it's kind of close to the original pizzeria.
I think that's the point.
Is it?
I would imagine. I don't think they follow the traditional rules, though.
Okay.
We're spoiling all of this.
Man.
Well, for my part, you, me, and I are crazy about pizza, and we eat it, like, all the time. Everything from frozen pizza to Domino's to pizza out, like,
really?
By the slice. Yeah. It's good.
I ate a lot more pizza when I lived up in the New York area.
Yeah.
Because I would, like, get it after class, just the single slice.
Big, huge slice.
Yeah, and you fold it in half, and it's just great.
Did you want pizza while you were researching this?
No.
I did.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, by the Antico, though, is really, really good pizza. The best pizza in Atlanta, most people agree on.
Yeah.
And judging by the line out the door every single day, then I would say we're right.
I've even gotten into an argument with them on the phone, which I don't do very often, about whether or not you can order a pizza without cheese, and I'll still go back there after hanging up on them in anger.
Wow.
Yeah.
They do it their way.
They definitely do. That's the point.
They also have the dressing station, which is like the basil plants. They don't even have, like, it's not dried basil or even leaves. It's like the plant. You pick the leaves off there.
Right.
And they got the big chunks of garlic, and it's just, God, it's so good.
Yeah. You can hear your food go, ow.
Now I want pizza.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. All right. That's what I was going for, Chuck.
You got me.
And it worked. So, everybody, I'm sure, is familiar with pizza. I don't think there's going to be too many huge surprises there.
No.
But there's a lot about pizza that I would imagine you don't know.
Yeah.
We're going to tell you that kind of stuff.
Agreed.
Like, for example, at its core, pizza really is bread, cheese, and sauce.
Yeah.
That's it.
Tomato sauce.
Right.
Unless you're getting funky.
But you can't get funky and still call it pizza, customarily.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, it has to be made a certain way or else it's not really pizza. It's like a tomato pie.
I don't know, though. Like, I would call, like, a pesto pizza pizza.
But you were a born American.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
What did you think I was? Speaking as, like, a native Sicilian?
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, maybe as a citizen of the world.
Oh, okay.
You know.
All right.
We're in the midst of globalization, Chuck.
Let's do this.
All right, let's talk pizza history then, huh?
Yeah. I used to hear from uninformed people, like, you know, pizza's really American. It didn't even come from Italy.
Right. They're talking about chop suey.
Just not true at all.
Yeah.
Pizza did come from Italy, in a way. We need to back up even further, probably to Greece, where some people attribute, like, the original flatbreads that they would decorate with things as, like, the first pizza-style thing.
Right. You're talking, like, 3rd century B.C.
Yeah. A long time ago.
Right.
But I don't. I mean, they didn't call it pizza until, what, 81,000 in Naples.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, Naples is like the cradle of pizza.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that it went back that far. That's pretty interesting.
Well, that's what it was first named, pizza meaning pie.
Okay, so I also saw a discrepancy here. I saw pizza also can mean to pinch.
Oh, really?
Or slice.
Hmm.
That's what I got pizza meant, not necessarily pie.
Well, that's what this person says.
Okay, so we're at AD 1000, right?
Yes.
This is such a cool date.
It is.
And the reason pizza started to take off was because the peasantry didn't have that much money, and this stuff was kind of easy to come by.
Yep.
You made your bread, you had some cheese, maybe some kazu marzu with the maggots.
Yeah.
Maybe some seasonings and some olive oil. That's about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't until, you know, one of the biggest main ingredients, it wasn't until the Columbian Exchange started to take place that tomatoes were introduced to Italy, because those are a new world food.
Yeah, I did a little tomato research, because that's kind of fascinating on its own, I think.
Isn't it?
Tomatoes come from Peru, they believe, originally. And because the fruit of the deadly nightshade, looks like a tomato, a lot of people thought it was poisonous over the years,
yeah.
many years ago.
Yeah.
And actual stems and leaves of a tomato plant do contain a toxic tomatine.
Huh.
But
But what will happen to you?
Well, I think there's been one reported death.
From eating tomato stems and leaves?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Supposedly. I don't know if that's true, though.
They figured out, well, the stems and leaves are kind of gross anyway. Let's just eat the tomato.
So thank you, Spain. And also, interestingly, even though it came from, like, South America, you would think it made its way up through the States via Central America and Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it didn't. It, like, took the circuitous route via European immigrants.
Probably through the Philippines, too. If you're interested in that, dude, you should really read 1493. It's all about that stuff.
Is that guy going to just keep writing books? Is there going to be a 1494?
If there is a benevolent God, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. 1495.
So anyway, tomatoes, all people discovered, hey, they're not poisonous. They're really delicious.
Yeah.
Let's start throwing them on this bread.
Exactly. And then now we have pizza. So we're talking like the 17th century, I think, was when the term, no, it wasn't. Okay, so that kind of, yeah, that goes against that research, too. I think I saw somewhere that the term was coined in the 18th century, like 1738. They started making pizzas as we know them today.
You know, I think there's some discrepancies just in pizza lore.
Yeah.
Because that long ago, I don't think they were necessarily keeping track of all this stuff like we do today.
Okay, so possibly in AD 1000 or in 1738, right. About 750 years later,
yeah.
The word pizza was used to describe this flatbread, right? Consisting of now tomato sauce, mm-hmm. cheese,
yeah.
bread,
yeah.
right? The one thing that is not disagreed upon was that both of these took place in Naples.
That's right.
And Naples was the center of it. And like we said, the peasantry was really hip to pizza because it was cheap and sure. It was abundant.
Street food.
Yeah. And so if you wanted to go find pizza, you basically had to go into the peasant districts of Naples. And there it was in abundance being sold from street carts.
Now, is that where the first pizzeria was?
Yes.
Okay.
In 1830.
The peasant land?
Yeah.
Okay. So Antica Pizzeria Portalba.
Yeah.
So Antica, I wonder if that's the same as Antico. I wonder what the difference is.
I don't know.
Someone will probably explain it to us.
Hopefully in Italian.
Yes.
Is there an authority on that?
All right. So that's 1830, the first pizzeria.
Right. And also, I didn't see it in here, but I came across it. A pizzaioli was a pizza maker. That was the name of a pizza maker.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So the peasantry in Naples, and probably it's starting to spread a little bit beyond that, but the peasantry in Naples has been eating pizzas for well over a century, almost two centuries, by the time Queen Margherita and King Umberto.
Queen
who?
First,
Margherita.
Ah.
Yeah. Does that name sound familiar in regards to pizza?
Yeah, especially when you see it spelled out.
Right.
And you're like, oh, wait a minute. That's where it came from.
Exactly.
Reportedly.
So Queen Margherita was apparently like a pretty hip queen. She was down with the common person. And she and Umberto went and toured the country in 1889, and one of the places they went was Naples, and one of the things they did was eat pizza. And she was like, I love this. I want more of this.
Yeah.
Bring me Rafael Esposito.
Her personal chef.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's her personal chef.
It was her personal pizza chef, at least.
And he said, Queen, I'm going to make you some good pizza, including one that looks like the Italian flag. And that is the legend, at least, of how we got margherita pizza, because you have the red tomato, the white mozzarella, and the green basil. And there's your Italian flag.
Yeah.
It's a great story. Hopefully true.
So supposedly he made her that one, the margherita pizza, which she liked the most and is named after her. Another one with pork fat, cheese, and basil, which sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And then another one with garlic, oil, olive oil, and tomatoes.
Yum.
All of them sound great.
Yep.
But she chose the margherita, and that's the one that was named after her. But the upshot of all this is that the queen was suddenly eating peasant food. The queen's the most popular person in all of Italy all of a sudden.
Sure.
And now all of a sudden in places, other parts of Italy where pizza wasn't heard of or eaten or whatever, people are starting to make it.
That's right.
And that's like 1889, 1890s.
Yes, which is a great time for pizza to be coming into its own. Because there was a little country called America coming into its own. And with the arrival of Italian immigrants in the late 19th century in places like New York and Chicago and Philly, New York light, they would eat pizza. And it was, again, sort of like street food at the time, at least.
Right. So about the time, I guess, when Margherita was extolling the virtues of pizza, I guess her... this wave of immigration had such a tangible connection to the old world that, like, almost immediately they were making pizzas in these cities, like you said.
Yeah.
Apparently, New York was the first city with an actual pizzeria.
I believe that.
Lombardi's. Gennaro Lombardi apparently opened his shop in 1905 at 53rd and a half Spring Street in New York.
I wonder what's there now.
Lombardi's.
Oh, is it still there?
I believe Lombardi's is still functioning.
Wow, that's pretty great.
Yeah, and did we say that Antico Pizzeria in Naples is still in the same spot, still selling pizza since 1830?
Oh, we did not, but that is true.
Yeah.
And that is very cool.
That makes me want to go to Naples quite badly.
Yeah, I mean, you could get an original pizza from the original pizzeria.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And we'll get to this in a little bit, but you may be kind of surprised when you eat a pizza, a Neapolitan pizza, at the place where it all started. Compared if you're used to, like, Papa John's.
I had pizza in Italy once.
Yeah.
You know, I was there, and I figured, why not?
I guess I'll do as the Italians do.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's pretty much... Oh, no. We didn't finish the history.
Yeah, United States was coming into its own. Italian immigrants coming in, bringing in pizza. Then after World War II, of course, with a lot of things, GIs came back with these flavors for different countries' foods and drinks.
Right.
And they said, man, this pizza stuff is really great. So let's start building chains and degrading the product. And we did so with Shakey's in 1954. It was the first... pizza chain in the United States.
Yeah.
California chain.
Pizza Hut was founded in Kansas, of all places.
Yeah, 4 years later.
In 1958.
Later. Pretty cool.
And the reason, apparently, as legend has it, that their name Pizza Hut was because the place, the building kind of looked like a hut, and there was only room for 9 spaces on the sign. So yeah. Pizza Hut.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Shakey, have you ever been to Shakey's?
No. As a matter of fact, no. The only time I've ever seen Shakey's was in the movie License to Drive with the two Coreys.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all over L.A. And, you know, sort of Pizza Hut-y in feel, like a family joint, pitchers of beer, not so great pizza.
Yeah.
But apparently Sherwood Shakey Johnson got that name because of some, like, affliction he had that made him shake.
No.
Yeah.
Goodness.
But I guess he embraced it.
Well, yeah.
He named his very popular chain after it.
And they're still around, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised it hasn't spread by now. 1954, there's Pizza Huts everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have them outside of California, although I'm not positive. I didn't get to look that up.
Gotcha.
But I know they don't have them over here, down south, over here, in the southeastern Bible Belt.
Yeah.
All right. Dough?
Yeah, so that's pizza history.
Yeah.
No, we should probably get to the basics.
Yes.
And there's nothing more basic than dough.
No.
And there's an art to this. There's three ingredients that are demanded: flour, water, and yeast.
Yes.
Everything else is just icing on the cake.
Yeah, but you probably are going to throw a little salt in, a little sugar, a little shortening to make it do the things you want it to do, perform like you want it to perform.
Yeah, and you can go to Mellow Mushroom Pizza and get a gluten-free pizza. I myself have not had one because I don't have celiac, right? And I'm not about to just, no.
Yeah.
But if you are gluten-free, you are SOL in a lot of ways because the flour used in pizza crust, pizza dough, is high gluten flour.
That's why gluten-free pizza tastes like crap.
I've not had it, so I can't say.
Yeah. Well, that's just my opinion.
Yeah. You've had it?
Yeah, I've tried it.
It's not
the same.
Oh, I'm sorry, everybody.
They need gluten in the flour because gluten makes the crust tough.
Yep.
And it won't crack apart. Makes it stand up to the water.
Keeps it ropey.
Yeah, keeps it nice and ropey.
Yeah.
And I guess we need to talk about water at some point.
Anytime.
Because water's, you know, the old saying about New York pizzas is because of the water.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the old saying. I don't know. It's an old saying.
But they changed their water. Now they have, like, water you can drink right out of the tap.
Did they change their water?
Oh, yeah, man. They overhauled their sewer system. There's a bottled water you can buy now that's just New York City tap water. Its stuff is so, like, clean and pure.
Well, it's because it comes from, I think 90% of it comes from two aqueducts in the Catskills. Ship it into Manhattan. We should do a podcast on how Manhattan gets water. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, okay. Now? Like,
no.
Can we wait until we research it?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, though. But I read this Wired article that kind of broke down the pizza water New York thing. And they got in touch with Mario Batali, very famous Italian chef.
Yeah.
And asked him, and he said, well, one of the reasons, before we get to water, is that the oven, he said, captures the gestalt, or if you're German, the gestalt of a beautifully cooked pizza. So basically over time.
Totally did say that, didn't he?
Over time. Well, it makes sense, though. Over time, you're going to get particles, like volatilized particles, caking onto the walls and the roof of your oven.
Uh-huh.
And then the convection process will just, like, work that into whatever you're cooking over the years.
Right.
So because they've been making pizza for so long in New York, some of these old ovens, like, have this gestalt that can't be matched anywhere else.
No.
He says.
Okay.
And Chicago as well. But then with the water, he says, yeah, the biggest problem with California pizza is the water. It's just not the same.
Yeah, it's poop water.
Although he doesn't use New York water. At his restaurant Del Posto, he actually clones water from Italy.
No, he doesn't.
He does.
No.
Yes.
Clones it?
That's what he said. It's he's created his own mineral water composite working from a chemical analysis of L'Acqua Italiana. And it said that basically it's a clone of this Italian water. It sounds kind of pretentious.
We should go sell him some, like, real estate or something.
But that's why I think the Food Detective Show did a test, a blind test, on New York water and pizza crust, and everyone picked the New York pizza in a blind test.
Huh.
So there may be something to it, the mineral composition.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have even the slightest belief in molecular gastronomy.
Sure.
It makes sense.
Which would explain why New York bagels are the best, too, because bagels are boiled, as
yeah.
everyone knows.
Yeah.
Or the right, if you make it the right way, it's boiled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way to go, Chuck.
That's my water sidebar.
That's Chuck on water.
Well, I've always heard that, you know, New York pizzas because the water is because the water from the Catskills.
Yeah. I had heard that. I didn't know it was from the Catskills or it had anything to do with Gestalt or anything like that.
Gestalt?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Hey, everybody. If you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long. But Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. You start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
The third vital ingredient is yeast, and yeast basically creates the precursor to beer. Remember in the beer episode?
Could you imagine if there was no yeast?
We'd be in big trouble. No pizza, no beer. What's the point?
No bread.
This world would be, it'd be sad.
Actually, there's yeast-free bread, I think, but still.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, no, I know.
So what's the deal with yeast?
Well, basically the yeast goes in and it eats the sugars found in the flour.
Uh-huh.
And then you may also add your own sugar to increase the fermentation. But it causes the dough to rise because it expels gas as a byproduct. And that gas gets trapped in the dough and it causes it to rise. It makes it more malleable. It makes it tastier.
Yeah.
The texture of it is softer. It's just basically yeast. It's the happy fungi that you add to the whole
the magic mix. Ingredient.
Yeah.
If you add a little salt, it's going to add some flavor, obviously. It's going to slow the fermentation. Shortening is going to make it more pliable by providing lube.
And shortening would be like olive oil. You're not going to use Crisco unless you're some sort of heathen.
No, you can use canola oil, but olive oil is what I would go with.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, Crisco. Crisco is great, though, for some things.
Oh, yeah, for like sugar cookies.
Mm.
Especially the kind that's like just the shortening, the
yeah.
thick, solid, shortening. That stuff is crazy.
That's what I thought. That's the only way I thought you could cook growing up because of, like, my grandmother's.
Yeah.
I thought, well, when you cook, you get out that big can and a big ice cream scoop and you go to town.
With that wadded up piece of, like, wax paper in there that you used to scoop it out.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's just completely covered in Crisco now.
Mm.
Yeah.
Either that or the grandmothers also used, you know, they saved all their grease. So they would be cooking with grease that they've been using for like the past year.
Yeah.
It's really good.
That's nice.
Sugar changes the fermentation rate.
Yeah, it can accelerate it.
Yeah.
It can increase the amount of gas released. And it also causes the crust to brown.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's the sugar?
Yep.
So what if you don't put sugar?
You get a glowing yellow crust.
Oh, really? Doesn't brown as much?
It doesn't brown.
Okay. You want to ball it up? Use your hands.
Yeah, I think you should say here, like, you're teaching people how to make legitimate, real pizza dough here.
Yeah. So,
this
I mean,
is gold.
In rough strokes.
Okay.
Like, I don't think anyone could, like, we're not providing measurements, you know what I'm saying?
No, no, but I'm saying once you've created this dough, now you're about to tell them what to do with it.
Yeah,
to,
yeah.
How to make it.
You want to ball it up with your hands. You don't want it all cracked. You want it tight. And you want to put it on an oiled sheet pan and then proof it, which means you cover it with wax paper and let it sit and let the yeast do its thing until it, like, doubles in size.
Yeah, because the yeast is just sitting there eating sugars and
pooping out
gas.
Gas. Then you need to retard it. You need to put it in the fridge for about 12 hours, and then this slows the yeast down, but it's still doing its thing.
Right. They're like, this sugar's so good.
It's cold. And then if you do this, you've got pizza dough that you can use for like 3 to 5 days.
Yeah, I would imagine most people who are really, really into pizza would be like, you can't save that for 3 to 5 days.
You think?
I would think so.
I bet.
Fresh.
You
fresh
think most
is almost always preferred.
Do it, like, yeah, the same day?
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying like a pizza purist would be like, you can't use 5-day-old dough for a decent pizza.
True. But I buy the dough sometimes at like Trader Joe's, you know, or the farmer's market, like the pre-made dough balls. And those are, you know, not necessarily that day. Or the oven.
Well, you left out the sauce. Most of the time it's tomato sauce. But if you're still worried that tomatoes are poisonous and that the aristocracy is trying to kill you by giving them to you, you can eat garlic butter sauce, which will give you a white pizza.
Yeah.
You don't like white pizza?
No.
Love white pizza. And if you go to Fellini's, I think we're going to name every single pizza place in town. If you go to Fellini's and order a white pizza slice, you know, they use the pre-made slice, and then they build the white pizza on top of it. So you get a little tomato sauce with your white pizza. It's really good.
But it's not white pizza then, right?
No, not. You're the one who calls, like, everything pizza. You run around, now, that's a pizza. Look, there's a pizza over there. I don't want to hear it from you.
All right. I'm not a fan of white pizza. I like some tomato sauce on mine.
Yeah, I'm with you. But I like white pizza, too.
Okay. And the cheese, you know, mozzarella traditionally.
Right. And the way you build it is actually kind of important, too.
Yeah, depending on where you are.
It's not just the ingredients. It's the amount and the
distribution?
Yes. Where they are.
Sure.
In relation to one another vertically.
Well, let's go ahead then. New York is sauce, then cheese.
Yeah, well, from the dough up.
Yeah, dough, sauce, cheese.
Right. And then not that many toppings.
Well, if you're a purist, again, cheese, a cheese slice is what you're going for.
I'm not big on just cheese.
What are you, pepperoni guy?
No, not anymore. Not since I was a kid. Now I'm just kind of like, pepperoni, it's so bleh.
I like a good homemade Italian sausage.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that's really good. I like sliced tomatoes on it. Not sun-dried, fresh.
Yeah.
Basil, black olives.
Yeah, basil always.
Ham.
Not into olives.
I like sausage. I don't like the green olives. I like black olives.
Do you like the Hawaiian pizzas?
I've only in the last couple months gotten into pineapple.
Yeah.
And I'm still feeling my way around it. Pineapples and strawberries. I used to eat strawberries when I was a kid, and I've rediscovered them recently. I'm like. Yeah, when we were in the suite at the Marriott and we were doing interviews at Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah, you ate the strawberries.
Did you see me? I ate like 15 pounds of strawberries. They were so good.
The chocolate covered or regular?
No, they're regular.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even need chocolate covered anymore. It's like I'm free.
Strawberries are delicious.
Yeah. But Hawaiian, I'll tell you in a month or two. I'll try it.
Emily likes that. She's big on mushroom, green pepper, and pineapple.
Together?
Yeah, she doesn't do the meats, you know, at all. Just as a food.
While we're talking about wives and pizza preferences,
yeah,
you may have this place in D.C. she used to go to, and she'd get like a huge slice of pizza, and this place also sold Indian food, so she'd get chicken sog and put the sog on the pizza, and she said it was
really
awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to do the half and half, and I get like sausage on one half, and she does veggie, and then it's like, your sausage juice got on my half. I'm like, well, your mushroom got on my half.
You like a cheeseburger pizza?
Eh.
I love cheeseburger.
I'm not too big on beef on the pizza.
I'll give you one more tip.
Okay.
Get yourself some complete seasoning. Some, I can't remember what it is in Spanish, but complete seasoning. It's like a Mexican blend.
Okay.
And put it on your pizza. It doesn't matter what kind of pizza it is. It works on popcorn, too. But on your pizza, it'll make you smile.
Well, my friend Eddie, who, you know, would say, get a bottle of ranch dressing and you're all set.
Oh, yeah, that's good, too.
All right, so man,
wow,
that was a sidebar.
So you were saying New York, you build from the dough up.
Dough up.
Dough, sauce, cheese, and then maybe a couple toppings.
Yeah.
Chicago, it's the opposite.
Yes.
And this is apparently a tomato pie, the way it's built.
Yeah. Super deep dish.
Right.
Baked in a pan.
Yeah.
And then you've got the cheese on the bread itself, on the dough.
Right.
And then the toppings, and then they put this, like, ungodly thick, delicious sauce on top.
Yeah, I've not had it.
Really?
And I love Pizza Hut's pan pizza.
Well, you should definitely have like a true Chicago style pizza. I mean, it's great. You eat it with a fork and knife. I am a New York pizza guy through and through.
I like it too.
But, you know, every once in a while, if like when in Chicago.
Well, this is like when in Italy.
Exactly.
This is one of those things where I don't think you have to choose sides.
No.
Let's just all eat all kinds of pizza all the time.
Yeah, but people get really passionate about their pizza.
I know, but these are, you know,
yeah.
It's like, man, it's pizza. Enjoy all pizza.
I agree.
If there's one thing we can all just settle down about, it's pizza.
Even Mexican pizza? Come on.
Yes.
No.
Oh, yeah.
That's not pizza.
What, are you crazy? You can't just run around saying that. What you eat is not pizza, unless it's exactly what the Neapolitans are making. It's not pizza.
It's not Neapolitan pizza.
No, it's not pizza.
All right, so now the ovens?
I guess. I thought this was an odd little thing that they put in there.
What, about the different kinds of ovens?
Yeah, it just seemed intuitive to me.
Well, sure. Well, you use a peel. Not many people know that big spanking paddle. It's called a peel.
I didn't, I have to say.
Okay. So you slide it in there. They can be electric. They can be cooked right on a conveyor belt, like if you're at a big pizza chain,
yeah.
Which, you know.
Or if you have a conveyor belt oven at home.
That's true. But the king daddy of all is the brick oven pizza.
Yeah.
Cooked with wood.
Yeah.
And like your crust should have little bits of black char on it, if you ask me.
Yeah.
For the best taste.
Which is actually soot. It's spent carbon.
Yeah. little spoiler there for an upcoming show.
Yep.
And then here in Atlanta, at Antico, I think they brought those three ovens over from Naples, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I could see that.
So a lot of gestalt going on there.
Man, there's tons of gestalt.
Neapolitan pizza?
Yeah, so Neapolitan pizza is extremely thin crust. It's bubbly crust. You put on sauce and then maybe basil and mozzarella. You don't cover the sauce. It looks like pretty much equal parts. Just visibly looking down over the pizza, it appears like equal splotches of basil, mozzarella, and sauce.
Yeah, kind of spare. They don't overdo it.
And to be a true Neapolitan pizza, as of December 2009, the European Union issued a protection. That regional protection that, like, champagne and what was the other thing we talked about recently?
Was it a cheese?
It had to have been.
Probably.
Yeah. And also, I think Neufchâtel has regional protection as well.
Okay.
But basically, like, it has to be produced in that area under these certain guidelines to be considered that. Neapolitan pizza enjoys that economic protection now as well. And to be Neapolitan, it has to be round. It can't be ostentatious.
No.
No more than 13.5 inches in diameter.
Yeah.
It can only be a tenth of an inch tall, which is thin.
At its center, yeah.
Yeah. The crust has to be no more than 3/4 inch thick. So this is a really thin crust pizza, man.
Yeah, but not ultra thin. I got taken to task on Facebook today.
Oh, yeah?
Because I said it was ultra thin. They were like, that's not ultra thin.
Ultra thin's a tortilla.
I guess so.
Mexican pizza. you have to knead the dough by hand, right?
Yeah, and I got a couple of more that weren't in the article. Supposedly it has to be in a wood-fired oven above 905 degrees Fahrenheit. Only San Marzano plum tomatoes.
Okay.
Which, you know, to me, that's the only tomato if you're going to be cooking Italian style.
Is that right?
I think so.
Is that canned?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I know what you're talking about.
I mean, I'm sure you can get them fresh, obviously, but yeah, the canned San Marzanos are like what I use in my spaghetti sauce.
Have you been to that Italian market by Five Seasons on the west side?
I have not.
It is like half a block down, and it is authentic.
Really?
Yeah. You should check it out if you're into that.
I am into that.
We'll check it out.
All right. And I think that's all. To by law, and of course they pointed out in the article I read that no one's going out and like, you know, punishing anybody. It's just a set of standards that they like to hold dear.
Oh.
You know, they're not going to throw you in jail for calling something a Neapolitan.
Right.
Yeah. Although they should.
So that's Neapolitan. We talked about New York and Chicago. California pizza.
Yeah.
That is super thin crust.
Yeah.
Usually made with what vegetables are in season. I like California Pizza Kitchen. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. If you like barbecue sauce on your pizza.
No, they have a tostada pizza that's really good, too. You should check. Man, you got to expand your horizons. It's not just New York and Chicago. There's a lot. There's a whole world of pizza.
I've been to CPK. It's fine. The black bean salad there is delicious.
Their guacamole is pretty good, too.
All right. And then Greek?
Yeah.
That's also in a pan, like Chicago.
It's just feta. I'm not big on feta.
Feta and spinach sometimes, olives.
Yeah.
I like feta.
And then Sicilian. And there's American Sicilian and Italian Sicilian.
That's right.
And if you're an American, you're making a Sicilian pizza. It's rectangular square. Thick crust.
Not a fan.
The reason it's thick is in Sicily, they bake the ingredients into the crust.
Yeah. I'd like to try that, actually.
It's like they heard about stuffed crust pizza and started mimicking it.
Oh, man. Pizza Hut drives me nuts with all those things. It's like the rope of cheese in the crust. Or then they had the one crust. It was the one the pizza eat backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they just come up with all these things that are completely unnecessary.
There was the pizza that eats you.
Yeah, the pizza that eats you.
Yeah. And speaking of Soviet Russia, there's some pretty crazy toppings around the world.
What do they eat there in Russia?
They eat something called makba. Which is a blend of tuna, mackerel, sardines, onions, and salmon, which I have to say sounds kind of good.
You know what I thought was good?
What?
Was the Japanese. Yeah. The mayo yaga, jaga?
Yeah.
Mayonnaise, bacon, and potato mixture?
They cook their hot dogs in there, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's really good.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
In India, a little pickled ginger and tofu, maybe, and a little minced mutton.
Yeah.
Gross.
Sounds good to me.
You don't like mutton? No.
Jeez.
I had a pet goat.
This is a lamb.
I know.
Totally different animal. They can't even mate, I don't think.
Oh, I bet they could.
Well, they can, but they can't reproduce.
Okay. Brazil, you might get some green peas on your pizza.
Woof.
Yeah. Costa Rica, you might get a little coconut.
Equally woof.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not big on coconut
and
on
pizza. Anchovies are generally regarded as the least favorite pizza topping.
What's the number one pizza topping in America?
Oh, it's pepperoni, of course.
Wrong.
Really?
It got toppled this year.
Wow.
Chicken. As far as protein goes, chicken.
Really?
Yep.
And is that, how do they calculate that? Is that like in restaurants or?
There's actually a surprising amount of pizza industry marketing and lobby groups, and trade groups.
Yeah, that's true. The Pizza and this Owners Association or whatever.
Yeah, I ran across a blog post and I don't remember. I followed it to this press release from some pizza association. And I don't remember which one it was, but they said that chicken topped pepperoni as far as pepperoni toppings goes.
So that means that Americans consume more than 250 million pounds of chicken on their pizza.
Yeah, which makes sense because chicken's heavier than pepperoni.
That's true.
And that's a lot of pepperoni.
Maybe they go by weight.
Yeah, we've got some awesome stats here, don't we?
Yeah, go ahead and fire some of those out.
So the number of pizzas sold in the U.S. each year, 3 billion. I'm responsible for at least 1.5 million of those.
350 slices sold every second.
Yeah.
Not bad.
And every year, the average American eats 46 slices. That's child's play.
93% of Americans eat pizza at least once a month?
Yeah. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
I mean, that means like almost every American eats pizza at least once a month. That is pretty staggering. I can't imagine that there's any other food like that except maybe a cheeseburger.
I bet pizza tops that even.
I would think so. It's just such an easy
go-to. Vegetarians can eat cheese pizza.
Yeah. And if you go to like McDonald's or something like that and you have a family of four, you're going to spend more than you would on a pizza that'll feed that family of four too.
Yeah. And you don't get the cold breakfast leftovers either.
Exactly.
With McDonald's.
You do, but... what else was there? Anything else?
There was a guy in my elementary school, actually. You know, remember the little rectangle elementary school pizzas? That
yeah.
were so
oh,
great?
Oh, my God.
There was one dude, Brett Standish, that did not eat pizza. And he was, like, the only kid I ever knew that didn't eat pizza. So every time we had pizza, it was like there was a battle royal to find out who would get Brett Standish's pizza.
Yeah.
And he would like up his, you know, his asking price each week when he found out, you know, it was like a valuable commodity.
Yeah.
Smart kid.
Yeah. What was the most he ever got for it?
Nah, I have no idea. Probably a bunch of Pringles and like a little time behind the school. You know what I'm saying?
No. Well, my imagination is racing right now.
Okay.
There's this little sidebar in this article that said that more than 30 pizzerias in New York are operating under the name Ray's.
More than that.
And I was like, that sounds like a lot until you realize there's 9,000 pizzerias in New York alone. New York City.
Well, I thought this was pretty interesting. Should we talk about Ray's?
Sure.
If you've ever been to New York, or Atlanta's got 4 Ray's pizzas.
Is that right? Famous original Ray's?
Atlanta has Ray's New York pizza. And you know how it always says since whatever year? Since 1990.
Right.
In Atlanta.
That's not too bad.
But, by the count I got, there are 49, pizzerias in New York that use some form of the name Ray. And here's the story behind it.
Okay.
Ralph Cuomo.
Right.
Opened the first Ray's on Prince Street in 1959.
He's grandfather to Rivers and father of Mario. We're going to say.
And his nickname, he claimed to be Ray because he said it was Ralphie, then Rafe, then Ray. I'm not quite so sure about that.
Okay.
He opened a second one in the 1960s. And then someone named Rosalino Mangiano bought the second Ray's, changed the name to Famous Original Ray's, even though that wasn't true. So things started to get a little messy. Then Mangiano now goes by Ray, which is also bogus. Opened several more Famous Original Ray's all over the city. Sold that to a new owner who began using other variations of the Ray's. So it kind of just spread. But ironically, 3 quote-unquote Ray's got together to trademark the name. None of them are named Ray. Yet they have all gotten together to try and trademark the name Ray.
Right.
And to shut down, at least in name, places like... Atlanta's New York Pizza, Ray's New York Pizza in Atlanta.
Yeah, who you just probably got in trouble.
I don't think so. They know about them.
So you don't know that. That sounds like a cartel.
I think it is.
Speaking of cartels, Chuck, the big 3, Pizza Hut, Domino's, Papa John's.
Yeah.
Of those 3, the one that has the most urban legends associated with it is Domino's.
I had heard, I think, one of these. Well, the 30 minutes or less went away because they killed some kid in a car.
Yeah.
A delivery person did.
Such a ready-made urban legend.
Totally.
Supposedly, there were lawsuits from people being hit. At least one person was hit. But they didn't say it had anything to do with the 30 minutes or less.
One person was killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's right. One person killed, at least, so then at least one person hit. We're both kind of right.
But they did do away with that.
There was also a rumor that the owner of Domino's contributed a lot to anti-abortion groups, which may or may not have been true, but he didn't own Domino's probably at the time because the guy who founded the company.
Tom Monahan?
Yeah, he sold it in 1998 for $1 billion, which is pretty tiny.
But he is a staunch Catholic and obviously a supporter of pro-life.
Right.
And is building his own little Catholic town,
yeah,
outside of Miami.
Yeah.
One of those, and I've heard of these before, where you basically like, I'm going to build my own little town, like filled with people that are like me.
Exactly. Because I'm incredibly wealthy.
Exactly. So I don't know what the status is on that now, but supposedly more than 30,000 residents will occupy this town.
And eventually they'll go to war with Celebration Florida.
And then there's all these goofy pizzas. I don't get into all this stuff. Like the 3,000 euro pizza with cognac marinated lobster and edible gold and.
Okay, so that holds the record.
Champagne soaked caviar.
For the most expensive with gold. There's actually 2 categories in Guinness as far as most expensive pizza. With edible gold and without. Apparently, if you just want to like throw some edible gold on your pizza, you can just, you know, tip the scales money wise.
Right.
But if you want the most expensive pizza in the world without gold, that record was recently broken in Stevenson Pizza Company in Vancouver, which apparently is affiliated with the guy from Hell's Kitchen.
Oh,
yeah.
Shut It Down?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gordon Ramsay.
Yes. They have a $450 pizza called the C6 Pizza. It has lobster, thermidor, black Alaskan cod, and caviar on it. It looks kind of good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they do stuff like that to get press and get people in there. And I get it.
What about the largest pizza ever built and eaten? I like that they have that caveat.
Yeah, agreed. Havana, Florida, from 1987. I'm surprised no one has tried to break it since then. 44,457 pounds of pizza.
Yeah.
Over 94,000 slices.
Yep, devoured by 30,000, at least 30,000 people hanging out.
How did they bake that thing, I wonder?
I don't know. That's a great question. That's the one I want listener mail on. Not your favorite pizza topping. No one cares about that. How did they bake that thing?
Maybe it was sunbaked.
I don't know.
It was in Florida, or maybe
they're like, wow, this is really chewy.
Like they make it, and then they're like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
Because it says eaten. Or maybe there's another record tied to it for the largest pizza oven in the world.
And then the longest pizza delivery, 2004. A Domino's franchise owner named Lucy Clough delivered a pizza 10,532 miles, 16,950 kilometers, from London to Melbourne. It was a vegetarian pizza as part of the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
I was about to disparage it.
I know. That's why I got all that out in one breath before you could break it.
Yeah, okay.
I was saving you from yourself.
Make-A-Wish, then. Yeah. I support it.
Way to go, Chuck.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Hey, everybody, if you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long, but Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
That's pizza.
Yeah.
You know what's awesome about pizza? Everything. I guarantee you there's dark corners to all this that we didn't even hit.
Oh, sure.
That we're going to hear about, that we want to hear about.
This will be one of those, which I love.
Yeah, I love pizza. If you love pizza, you can read more about it at howstuffworks.com. Type the word P-I-Z-Z-A into the search bar at our beloved howstuffworks.com website. Which is now two words, I think, as far as AP goes.
What, website?
Yeah. No.
I was taught when I was hired here, it's capital W-E-B, separate word, lowercase S-I-T-E.
Right. Now it's lowercase, all one word.
Oh, it's all one word now. Yes. I thought you were saying it's two words now.
No.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no, it's one word.
Okay.
Which is great. If I did say two words, I was wrong.
Okay.
We'll find out. Anyway, I think I said search bar in there. So it's time for listener mail. Chuck.
Yes.
We should tell everybody about something very special and dear to our hearts. New York City.
That's right. We are going to Comic-Con, and we will be doing a live podcast on Friday, October 12th.
Yeah.
at Comic-Con at the Javits Center.
That's like our new thing. We did San Diego, now we're doing New York.
That's right.
Next up, Albuquerque.
So if you are going to Comic-Con, you should come by and see that. But after Comic-Con, we have one of our famous to us, All-Star Trivia Nights.
Right. Where is it going to be? The Cutting Room?
It is at the grand reopening of the Cutting Room in the Flatiron District, which is, what's the address?
It is 44 East 32nd Street in New York, and it's in the Flatiron, you said?
Yep, awesome. And doors open at 7:30, trivia goes down at 8:30.
And what is first come, first serve, right?
Free, first come, first serve. We will have a bar there that you can buy drinks.
Yeah. You can buy us drinks.
That's right. That
we're
going to
just basically be having a really good time. If you're not familiar with our trivia nights, like, just come out and check it out. It'll be worth your while.
Absolutely. And stay tuned for info on Facebook and Twitter about the makeup of the All-Star team. We are filling that out as we speak. But we will have some special guests that you will want to meet.
Yeah, and at the very least, you can come take on me and Chuck, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's just fun.
So what is that? That's Friday, October 12th, right?
Yep.
The panel's at when?
The panel is at, I believe, 6:45.
Okay, and then we're going to be at the Cutting Room starting at 8:30.
Trivia starts at 8:30, doors at 7:30. Be there, be square.
You are good at this.
Thank you.
All right, is it time for listener mail?
Yep. I'm going to call this accidents thanks to us. We caused an accident.
A good one?
No.
Like?
No one got hurt.
Okay.
This is from Annie, and Annie was going off to college, which was several states away, so her family decided to road trip with her to the college as a little mini vacation.
That is very sweet, depending on how Annie feels about her family.
Well, you're about to find out. It may sound fun, but it's not easy to agree on music when your James Blunt-loving mom, Miley Virus-loving younger sister...
She is just heading off to college, huh?
Yeah. And weird Euro-metal-loving older brother are all crammed into a car together. After a few hours of me wondering if I could get a refund on my soundproof headphones, they agreed to let me pick the music, and I picked Stuff You Should Know.
Nice.
Turns out everyone loves / doesn't hate Stuff You Should Know.
That's good.
We were all interested, more importantly, not yelling or throwing CDs out the window. Plus, it was fun to go back through my favorites. Jack the Ripper, for instance, made my mom a little green.
That's a good one.
However,
you know what?
What?
We heavily edited that one, too.
Yeah, it was worse.
It was way worse.
I think, I remember going through there and being like, dude, we can't say this.
It was factual.
No, it was. It was so... Yeah.
Yeah.
However, during a time when it was my goofy brother's turn to drive, parentheses, I really can't stress how weird he is. At the end of the cast about Genius, you were reading some other listener mail from a lady truck driver and told her to honk her horn, which my brother did, really loud, like a truck would do.
Uh-huh.
It wouldn't have been a problem, but we were in one of those curvy two-lane highways behind a senior citizen, and basically this old lady thought that they were honking at her.
Oh, no.
She slammed on her brakes.
Oh, no.
And caused the person riding behind her to butt into her rear end.
Oh, no.
No one was hurt, but I was laughing because over the screech of tires, I actually heard Chuck say, I hope we didn't just cause an accident.
Wow, this is insane.
Everyone was fine. There was no damage to either car, but my mom made my brother give them both info because my mother thought that he was liable. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. She just drove him straight to jail.
And she says, I was the one to awkwardly explain to the old lady what a podcast was. P.S. I hope my dorm mate likes you guys. That's from Annie.
Thanks a lot, Annie. That was really nice. I'm glad everyone's safe.
Me too.
Man, that's crazy, Chuck.
It sounds a little made up, but...
Oh, yeah? We've fallen for it before.
Sure.
Man, remember
the
marriage, the wedding proposal?
Yeah. I still have egg on my face about that.
It's all right, man. We all do. We all do. If you have a great story about how your family's been brought together by Stuff You Should Know, we want to hear it. We also want to know how the citizens of Havana, Florida, baked their 94,000 slice pizza.
Yeah.
We really, really want to know that.
Agreed.
And how delicious it was. Yeah. You can tweet to us all of this information to SYSK Podcast. Seriously, our Twitter is killing it.
Is it?
Yes.
That's great.
It's one of the best Twitter feeds on the internet.
Wow.
It's got it all, man. It has wacky news. It has important news.
Uh-huh.
Criticism of Twitter when they suspend people's accounts. It has we talk to people back and forth.
Yeah.
Sometimes we pester Hodgman for no good reason.
Yeah.
There's just all sorts of great stuff on Twitter.
Or we'll see a tweet from like the Jim Henson Company that they like the Muppet Podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So like pretty cool stuff like that is going down.
Yeah, it is. It's very cool. So you can follow us on Twitter at, so it's the at symbol and then SYSKPODCAST.
Yes.
At SYSK Podcast. We're also killing it on Facebook. Our Facebook page is awesome. That's facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow.
Yeah.
Right? And you can just send us an email like a normal person would to stuffpodcast at discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/power safely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.